So officially, I think we're supposed to be doing Pesach topics right now, but the request last week was for Chadash and Yashan, so we'll see why that's a very relevant Pesach topic. Just a heads up over here, next week I have a wedding, so I won't be able to give the shir, so the next shir will be in 2 weeks. I was planning on giving this topic about Chadash, about Yashan, and, you know, I guess growing up, I'd heard the terms before. Growing up, at least in Denver, I didn't know anyone who was being machmir for Yashan. That could have been an out-of-town thing. I don't know. But my guess is that it's picked up a little bit of steam over the past couple decades. And over the last bunch of years, you know, I know a few more people here and there who are machmir for it. So I want to know, you know, what's behind this? Is this a chumrah? Is this, you know, a big chumrah, a little chumrah? What's the reason that everyone is makel? So I was planning on doing it all in one shir, and then as I was preparing it, I saw that it was totally not feasible to do this topic justice in one shir. So what we're going to do today is hopefully just give an overview of the basic sugya until I'd say the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and then we'll talk about contemporary applications today. And I also want to talk a lot a bit about the Metziyas, just what is Chadash, what is Yashan, just describing the terms on the ground. Okay, so let's get started. And again, this will be part one of two. So the psukim in Parshas Emor in Vayikra already give us, you know, the background to this mitzvah. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to avoid eating chadash. So again, we will talk about the application soon. But the psukim say as follows: Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta alehem ki savo la'aretz. So you're going to enter the land asher ani nosein lachem, which I'm giving you. Uktartem es k'tzira. And so you're going to go and reap the harvest. Ve'veisem es omer reishis k'tzirchem al hakohen. So you're going to have the Korban Omer. So if you look in the Psukim, it's clear this is talking about the second day of Pesach. On the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, so they offer the Korban Omer. Okay. Then the Psukim say a few Psukim later, in Pasuk Yudalid, Perichav Gimel, V'lechem v'kali v'charmel, lo sochilu. So, bread and other sorts of grains, basically, you should not eat. Ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad haviachem es korban elokeichem, so the Torah already tells us two different things, which are supposed to, which are two kovim, two different, points of which we could point to as saying when this thing called chadash will become mutter. These grains you're supposed to avoid. You're not supposed to eat them until at etzem hayom hazeh, until this very day, until the 16th of Nisan. And also says another thing, until you bring the korban. So we're going to see shortly, you know, which of those is really the key. Is it the 16th? Is it the korban? What about nowadays we don't have a korban? How does chadash ever become mutter? And this is a chukas olam dor sechem b'chomo shvo sechem. Okay, so those are the two things: etzem hayom hazeh and bringing the korban. In the Gemara Menachos, which we'll see in a moment, so there's a whole discussion again about whether etzem hayom hazeh or ad haviyachem es korban elokeichem. How do these two things fit together? I'll just say derech agav. We're going to be talking about Sfira at some point. But the next pasuk says, "Svartem lachem lachoras haShabbos." The next, you start counting Sfira saOmer the next day, Yom haviyachem es Omer hatnufa, from the time where you start bringing the Omer. Sheva Shabbosos tumimos tiyena. We learn the mitzvah of Sfira saOmer that you start counting once you start offering the from the night that you start offering the, really the night before, I guess, where you offer the Korban Omer. And so there happens to be a whole discussion. So nowadays is Sfira d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. This is not really our topic, but the Rambam thinks that Sfira is d'oraisa. Others think that Sfira is d'rabbanan. One of the ways in which you could explain that machlokes is Sfira dependent on the Korban? Maybe there's a mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer only when you actually have a Korban to offer, and nowadays that we don't have a korban to offer, so it's only derabanan. Whereas if you thought that the whole point is really just about the time, it's just giving you, you know, a marker that this is when you have when Sfira starts on the 16th of Nisan. So then it would still be d'oraisa even today. Okay, so let's jump to the first real source, which talks about when chadash becomes mutter. So you have chadash again is a reference to all five grains. It's not so clear from the psukim in the Torah, but we understand that it means the five, the chamesh haminim, which we say mazonos, which we make an alamichya on. Again, what are they? Wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. We've talked before about oats for another time. But those five, meaning anything which are made from those, which come from a new crop, are going to be usher until a certain point when Nisan comes around. So the Mishnah says as follows. Mishakarav ha'omer, this is in Menachos Daf Sam Ches, once the omer has been offered, hutar chadash miyad, immediately chadash becomes mutter everywhere. Wherever there was chadash, so all the things which were chadash become mutter. So that's That's how it used to work when there was a korban. Again, now we don't have a korban. So what's the halacha nowadays? We'll skip that line because it's not relevant for us right now. Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash. So what about nowadays? We don't have the korban anymore. So Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. So Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiei Yom Hanef Kulo Aser. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made it to Kana. There's a it sounds like a dirabanan, that the whole Yom Hanef, the entire day of waving, the entire day of the 16th of Nisan is Aser. But after the 16th of Nisan, all Chadash, it sounds like, becomes Mutter. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara debates exactly how does that work out? So Rav Shmuel Darmi Tabayhu. Rav and Shmuel both say, how do we put these psukim together? So they say, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Omer Matir. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, the moment you'd bring the Korban, the Omer would make it Mutter. And now I'd be able to eat Chadash. Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Heir Mizrach Matir. Once we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the Heir Mizrach, once the morning of the 16th, once dawn on the 16th comes, then all Chadash becomes Mutter. It actually becomes Mutter earlier than what it used to in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So my time, Matrei Krai Ksiv. The reason for this, because there's two different psukim. Ksiv bi'ad haviyachem, it says, or bi'ad yom haviyachem, it says, until you actually offer the korban. L'ksiv al etzem ayom hazen, it says that it becomes mutter on this day. So which is it? Ha-ketzan. Kan bizman she-beis ha-mikdash kaim, kan bizman she-ein beis ha-mikdash kaim. So it depends, is the beis ha-mikdash around or not? One pasuk is talking about when the beis ha-mikdash is around. When the beis ha-mikdash is around, so then it becomes mutter when you offer the korban omer. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, so it becomes mutter in the morning. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came around and he said, you know what, we have to go and make a gzeira. He's worried the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, which is a good thing. But when it's rebuilt, so then we're going to have to wait until the actual korban omer is brought. So he says, midrabanan, you have to wait until the end of the 16th. Although midyal reis, it becomes mutter at the beginning of the 16th. So midrabanan, you have to wait until the end of the 16th, until the 17th. I'll just skip because there's one other significant opinion here. All this is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about in Chutz Laaretz in a moment. But the other significant opinion, a few lines later, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, bolded Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. So there's another opinion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he made his takana, that he made a takana, you can't have Chadash until the end of the 16th. So he was really holding like Rabbi Yehuda, that this wasn't really a gzeir, it wasn't midrabanan, but rather, de'amar min ha-Torah aser. Really, Chadash is aser, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, until the end of the 16th day. Sh'ne'amar ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad itzumo shel yom. Be'kasavar ad v'ad bichlal. So he darshans the words ad etzem hayom hazeh in the psukim, until this very day. So ad etzem hayom hazeh tells you, until this day, and ad v'ad bichlal. He thinks that that includes the 16th, thus according to Rabbi Yehuda, so you have it being midyal reisa until the end of the 16th. All this, again, is just in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about Chutz Laaretz in 1 second. But in Eretz Yisrael, what comes out of this Gemara is clearly it's Aser until the end of the day of the 16th. And then this thing called Chadash becomes Mutter. I should really be clarifying these terms, right? Chadash sounds good. Chadash is new. It sounds great. Chadash is bad. We do not want to be eating Chadash. And then once the Chadash becomes old, so to speak, so it becomes Yashan, and Yashan then becomes Mutter. So that's the Gemara that's the story in Israel. So just maybe like a little bit of background. In Israel, do you ever have to watch out for Chadash and Yashan before we see anything else? If I'm in Israel, do I have to, the Gemara is pretty clear, you have to watch out for Chadash and Yashan. There's really basically no debate. In Eretz Yisrael proper, Yashan is a very, very serious issue. It happens to work out that in Israel they have no problem of Yashan and Chadash ever. And that's a practical thing. In Israel, the way that they plant all five grains is that they plant them in the winter. They're all called winter crops. If you have a winter crop, so it means that they planted it sometime, let's say, around now, a little bit, sometime before Pesach. And then by the time that Pesach came, Pesach is matir, those plants. Those plants were around, they were in existence by the time Pesach comes, by the second day of Pesach comes. And so then when they reap them, they're already no longer chadash. Any plant which was already took root by the second day of Pesach no longer has any Yashin problem. No longer has a Chadash problem. So in Israel, there's literally no problem of Yashin. Anything that has Hashkacha is good. And Israel's rule is that they will not import anything under any Hashkacha unless it's Yashin. So in Israel, you'll never ever have to worry about a Yashin issue. It's automatically that way. So it happens to just be practical. In Israel, the best time to plant things is in the winter, and then practically it ends up being that they end up reaping it after it's Pesach. So it works out Whether you're from or not from, that's the way that they plant it. Yeah. So they wouldn't do it. Secular farmers, they would plant it. The way it works is all five grains in Israel are planted just agriculturally. It's the best thing to do. Right. In theory, you'd have a problem if they chose to reap it before Pesach.
I'm saying, do they not do that because of Pesach?
No, they don't do that for no reason except for the way it works is that certain plants are better to go and be planted depending on the climate and you know whatever other things go into planting. Somehow they've decided, they figure out in every single area of the globe, there's better times to plant things and worse times. In Israel, all five grains just happens to be agriculturally that's the best time to plant. Good. So let's talk about America, right? So all that's very nice in Israel. In Israel, in theory, you'd have a real problem, but it happens to always work out that you don't. If you have anything under any Israeli hashkacha, if you go into the supermarket and you see badatz, or you see, mahadrin on your product, that means that it was in Israel and they processed it in Israel. You know without a doubt that it is a Yashin product, anything imported from Israel.
Is that why antimus isn't sold in Israel?
That, I don't know.
It could.
So if they made cereal in Israel,
no, that matters. They would have been imported.
Right, Israel will not import any product under Hashkacha. They won't put Hashkacha on any cereal which is not Yasha. Correct. So let's make another point here that...
The box of Cheerios that makes it Israel could be Yasha.
Right, let's make another point. They charge a nice premium, these, you know, the Haimisha Hashkachas, to go and make sure things are Yasha and things are more expensive. In 3 weeks after Pesach, whether it's Entenmann's donuts or it's, you know, Haimisha Bakery's Kokish cake, everything is going to be Yashin. The moment that Pesach comes, all crops in the entire world, whether they've been picked or they were growing at that time, everything is going to become...
Also, the same time you have to start worrying about Chamei Shavar Alav Pesach.
Right, you'll have a different issue of Chamei Shavar Alav Pesach, but in theory, if it wasn't owned by a Jew at that time, so you won't have a Chamei Shavar Alav Pesach issue, everything in the whole world becomes Yashin, and you will not have a problem until a new crop which didn't exist at the time of Pesach, or which wasn't planted 2 weeks before Pesach such that it took root. If it was planted past that point, and then it has to go through the whole process of growing, etc., they have to then pick it, and then if it's a processed food, then it also has to go through the whole processing thing. So it takes a little while. So I have a little bit of just data here. So spelt and rye in America are apparently never... Any spelt or rye which is grown in U.S. or Canada works the same way as Israel. They always, always, always grow it only in the winter. It's a winter, what they call it, a winter crop. And so, spelt and rye, I missed it, but... What?
Yosef told me that about
spelt.
Yosef is not
Yashin. Yosef Konigsberg. Yosef Siegel. So spelt also rye happens to be, says Yashin.com, I trust them, says that...
But that's just true in America.
U.S. and Canada. So everything in the southern hemisphere is basically flipped. Whatever you do here in the southern hemisphere, Bederech Klau, is the opposite. So I don't want to make any, you know, claims if you're actually trying to be machmir on Yashin, so I don't want to tell you something with certainty. I'll tell you, I'm going to put this is the most important thing. If you learn one thing about this and you decide I want to keep Yashin, there is this app called the Yashin app, and you can just scan a barcode and it'll tell you if it's Yashin or not Yashin. So that's the way to do it nowadays. It used to be much harder. Yeah, so I simplified it. What the app really tells you is if the date on the barcode says it's before this time, so then it's Yashin, and if the date is after this time, then it is Chadash, and you should watch out. Sometimes it'll say this product is always Yashin, so it's a fun app to play around with. Okay, so anyway, so that's spelt and rye. Oats become the first thing to be a problem after Pesach. After Pesach, the first thing in America which is going to become Chadash is oats. Those become Chadash in mid to late July. And again, that's oats, you know, just the raw oats. Again, other products like your Cheerios, so it'll take a little longer for those to actually become from that new crop. Barley becomes Chadash as well as, we'll talk about wheat in a moment, but barley is in August, comes around August, then you have a problem. So all the frum, like, all the frum chulent mixes, they say Yashin on it, they're keeping barley from way back when, barley which grew from before, let's say, mid-August. And then winter, wheat is very interesting. Wheat's grown in two separate seasons. So there's winter wheat and there's spring wheat. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It might be summery. I have spring wheat in my notes, so I'm going to go with spring wheat. So what?
I think it's
Okay, so assuming I wrote it down right. So winter wheat is always good. So there's two types of wheat. Anytime you have winter wheat, that means by definition it's planted in this perfect time such that by the time it reaches the market, it's already become mutter. And then you have the spring wheat, which is something you have to watch out for if you're being machmir for yashan. And that hits the market around August. Again, like barley, it'll take a little bit of time. So fine. So that's the background if you're going to be machmir on yashan. You have to figure out, does it make any sense to be machmir, not to be chadash? So that, we have the Gemara. So the Gemara continues. All that I told you beforehand, that was all about Eretz Yisrael. What about in Chutz La'aretz? That's our big question. So the Gemara continues on, this is on Amud Beis really, but it says in source 2 in the second, the next paragraph, Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua. So it's just telling us, what would they do? So they're living in Chutz La'aretz. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua are Amuraim in Bavel. So they, achli chadash be'orsa deshitzar, nagi shivzar. They would start eating chadash only once it was the night of the 16th, going into the 17th. In other words, at the end of the 16th, once the 17th had now started, they would only then start eating chadash. So why? Kasavi chadash b'chutz la'aretz d'rabbanan. They thought chadash b'chutz la'aretz is aser, but it's only aser mid'rabbanan. Well, a speka lo chai shivan. We aren't worried about speka. What speka are we referring to? What speka might you have been machmir for? The entire day when the Omer would have been... I heard the right answer. I also heard a lot of other things, so that might have also been the right answer. But the suffix which we're dealing with is Sveka Diyoma. We're always, hey, is today really the 16th or is today really the 17th? Or maybe put it the other way. Is today really the 16th or is today the 15th? So they would say, you know what, when the 16th ends, as far as I'm aware, so that's good enough. I'm not going to worry about Sveka. Why weren't they worried about Sveka? Why weren't they worried about Sveka Dioma?
Because they already had a question about whether or not it was still the beginning or the end of the 16th anyway.
Oh, so first of all, is the whole thing the beginning or the end of the 16th? Good. So that might be one reason. And along with that, it's because they held it's Dirabanan. Meaning, because they thought that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz was Dirabanan, the rule is Safik Dirabanan Lakula. We can be making on the Safik and start eating once the 16th's out. We don't have to worry, really, our 16th is really the 15th. Okay, that's opinion number one. Opinion number two. Rabbanan Devei Ravashi, so the Rabbanan who learned in Ravashi's base medrash, Achlu Bitzafra Deshivsar. They ate only on the morning of the 17th. So they wouldn't eat at the start of the 17th when the night comes. They wouldn't eat Chadash until morning came. Why? Kasavri Chadash b'chutz la'aretz de'oraisa. They thought, no, Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is actually de'oraisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai midrabbanan kamar. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana, remember we had this mission, Rabbi Yochanan made a takana. Really, maybe mid de'oraisa, it's mutter in the morning of the 16th, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made the whole 16th asr midrabbanan. So they thought that really mid de'oraisa Chadash is in Isser, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana is only midrabbanan. V'chitakin li'yom hanef, l'sveiko lo sakin. So they thought his takana, so we'll be machmir for it. Meaning they were machmir for his suffik, but they were makil, not his suffik, they were machmir for his takana, but they were makil on the suffik. So they would say, you know, the 16th has, by the morning of the 16th, midi oraisa it's mutter. But since this is a chashash di oraisa, I have to wait until the morning of the 17th, because maybe really the morning of the 17th is really the morning of the 16th. Only then does it become mutter midi oraisa. What about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana? Well, we were already machmir for that on day 16, and that takana is only midrabanan, so they're going to be makil on the takana on the second day, and they're machmir only on the deoraisa aspect, and then it becomes mutter midoraisa in the morning for sure. Yeah, David.
Aren't there laws that are on land, on grains, aren't they usually only midrabanan in Israel?
Good. So regularly, we're going to get to that shortly, right? So regularly, things which relate to the ground are only deoraisa and Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to have to figure out how could you think that this is deoraisa. Okay, so we're going to hold off. We're getting there very shortly. So soon we are going to see all that. So one more opinion I'm just going to show you. Ravina has a third opinion. Amar li im. So he was told by his mother. Avuch lo hava achil chadash, ela beorsa deshivsar nagi timnesar. So he said, Ravina said that my mother reported to me, I guess his father was no longer alive. He said, my mother reported to me that my father, so Ravina's dad is, I guess, you know, the third sheet over here. Ravina's dad wouldn't eat Chadash until the night of the 17th, meaning once the 18th had started. So he was super duper mad. Not only would he wait until the end of the 16th, not only would he wait until the morning of the 17th, but he wait until the entire 17th was out. So why would he wait that long? So explains, Desavar la Krebi Yehuda, Because we had a discussion when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made this takana that you have to wait until the end of the day. So is that really a takana? Or Rabbi Yehuda thought he was really machmir midioraisa, that he thought midioraisa, you have to wait until the end of the day. Because it's dioraisa, so you have to be choshesh l'speka, you have to be worried about maybe I've got the whole day wrong, maybe the 17th is really the 16th, and so I have to wait until the very end of the 17th, so he wouldn't wait until 18th. What you have from this Gemara is that you've got three Amoraim, these are the only opinions here in this Gemara. They all say Chadash is certainly usher in Chutzlaretz, and it's a debate. The first Manda Amar said maybe it's only Midrabanan, and the last two Manda Amars thought it was dioraisa, and they have, you know, a technical machlokas about exactly when Chadash becomes mutter. But it's not looking good for us. If you look at the Rambam, how's the Rambam paskin? So he says, Chadash Ketza. How does Chadash work? So he says, Kol echad mechamishe mine tua, all five of the five grains, bilvad, asur le'echol me'achadash shalo, kodem shikra va'omer b'tezayim b'nisan. You are not allowed to eat from the new crop of the five grains until the omer has been offered on the 16th of Nisan. Shnemar v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo socheilu. Fine. Uvizman she'ein beis hamikdash. So that's all when there was a beis hamikdash. What about nowadays when there is not? So kol yom kulo aser min ha-Torah. Now the entire 16th becomes aser min ha-Torah. The entire 16th is aser min dioraisa. So who is he passing like? Rabbi Yehuda. Right? He's passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Uvizman hazeh. So nowadays, bimkomo she'osin shnei yamim tovim, ha-chadash aser kol yom yod zayin b'nisan. So we have to be machmir, like we just saw Ravina's father was machmir, not to eat chadash until the end of the 17th of Nisan, ad le'erev, mi divrei sofrim. So he says we have to be machmir until the end of the 17th. Why does he throw in mi divrei sofrim? Mi divrei sofrim sounds like it's dirabanan. Exactly. The sveka diyoma nowadays, the reason he's saying we're being machmir mi divrei sofrim is because the sveka diyoma nowadays, we really know how the calendar works nowadays. The calendar is set in stone now. We really know the first day is the real 16th, really is the 16th, and the 17th is really the 17th. But mi dirabanan, we are machmir for to treat it as a suffix, and that's why he says midivrei sofrim we're machmir. But at the end of the day, the Rambam says chadash. What we care about, you know, the exact date. You know, we can argue that's like a little bit of a technicality. Is chadash mutter midirabanan or midioraisa? Says the Rambam, it's an iser dioraisa even in chutz la'aretz, like the majority opinion in the Gemara in Menachos.
Was the actual suffix of the calendar already found by the Rambam's time?
Yeah. So the suffix of the calendar is codified by Hillel Hazaken. Hillel Hasheni in the 5th century or so. So well before the Rambam's time, the calendar was set in stone. Good. Okay. So then, so far we've seen nothing but chumras. We've seen nothing but, what?
He was much closer to Hillel than we were to him.
The Rambam was in fact closer to Hillel than we were to the Rambam. That's an interesting.
No, like the Rambam was 11th century.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 10th century.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a very interesting point, but noted. So maybe there's reason to be making. I'll show you a Mishnah. The Mishnah makes David points. The Mishnah says as follows. There's a Mishnah in Kiddushin at the end of the first parak. The first parak of Kiddushin is enormous. I think maybe the longest parak in Shas, if you look at the Gemara, it goes like 40 blot. But the Mishnah in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, it says as follows. Kol mitzvah sheitzluya be'eretz, or ba'aretz, eino noheges ela ba'aretz. So anything which is a land-related halacha only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Davida's got.
No, I was just doing grammar right now.
You were just doing Eretz or Aretz. I threw you off over there. I'm sorry. I knew the moment I said that I would either get Davida saying, you know, it's really Aretz or it's really Eretz. But I think it's Aretz. We'll see.
It's Ba'aretz because it's a.
It's a hey idea kind of thing. Okay, fine, good. And no, I get Eldo Ba'aretz. Ushaina Tuya Ba'aretz. No, Hegas Bain Ba'aretz, Bain Bechutzaretz. And anything which is not a land related halacha, like, I don't know, Talmud Torah. So that has nothing to do, that's not linked to Eretz Yisrael. That applies Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz Aretz. Then the Mishnah says there's two, maybe three exceptions. What are the exceptions to the first part? To the first part, a land-based halacha is only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, Chutz min ha'orla. Number one, orla is a problem even in Chutz Aretz. So for another shir, when orla actually, you know, comes up. The kilayim, and we still can't violate the isurim of kilayim and chutzaretz. That's the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says just two exceptions. Rebbe Eliezer Omer af min ha-chadash. Rebbe Eliezer says, no, there's one more. Chadash. Gotta watch out for chadash and chutzaretz also.
Naturally.
Right. But in general, we have a Tanakhama, and we have Rebbe Eliezer. We have any yesh omrim. So how do we regularly pass it? The Tanakhama, right? Whenever you have like, oh, there's one sheet against the Tanakhama, so regularly pass like the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama here says, chadash is not on this list. Chadash might be an issue in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not on the list of things which applies in the Chutz Aretz. Yes, you have Rebbe Eliezer, but come on, regularly we pass like the Tanakhama over Reb Eliezer. So that's maybe, you know, that's going to be helpful for us. We'll have to hold on to that. The problem is we have another Mishnah. There's really two Mishnayos which talk about Chadash and the Chutz La'aretz. And this Mishnah was actually championed by the Chasam Sofer in his fight against the Reform. Why is that going to be relevant? Because we're talking about Chadash. So we'll see in a moment. So the Mishnah in Orla talks about Chadash as well. It says, Safik Orla Be'eretz Yisrael, Asur B'Suriya Mutter. Okay, I gave you the beginning of the Mishnah just so, for some context. We're talking about different land-related halachos. Orla, that's what the Masechta is about. So in Eretz Yisrael it applies, in Suriya it doesn't apply. V'chutz La'aretz Yorid L'lokech, V'vach L'yir En L'lokate. Okay, and there's specific kulas built into Chutz La'aretz. And then here comes the key line. HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Chadash is Asur Mide Oraisa, everywhere. Not just in Eretz Yisrael. And that was the line which the Chasam Sofer loved in his fight against the Reform. He says, Chadash Aser Min HaTorah, you can't have new things. It's Aser Min HaTorah. B'chol Makom, wherever you are, Chadash is always Aser. It's funny because he has another tshuva where he says the reason why you're allowed to have Chadash is because Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. So we can't start making new chumras, and we've always been making about Chadash, so therefore Chadash must be mutter. It's a little bit of a irony that he quotes this thing to go and defend Chadash for maybe next week. Now, Orla Halacha V'Kilayim Yidivrei Sofrim, okay, those last points we don't need. But you have a steer between Mishnahs. One Mishnah has the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Yezer, but the other one's a Stam Mishnah. The other one has no Machlokas, and Orla, it just says, as a Davar Pashut, Chadash is Asur B'chol Makom Minato. So that's why we're not in such a great place right now.
Well, actually, that last piece seems to be actually kind of relevant, because it's more just kind of flipping what the Gemara Institution said, that Arla and Kilayim are the suffix and Chadash is the definite Yisr. So it's kind of, isn't that kind of more like a machlokas between those two sections?
So it's a good point. The Mishnah in Kiddushin doesn't spell out whether Orla and Kilayim are Deor Rabbanan or Deor Raisa. I mean, it just says, do these halachos apply at all? There's two exceptions. So I don't know if the Mishnah Orla is necessarily a contradiction to that. Meaning, yeah, Orla and Kilayim still apply also, but maybe they only apply Midivrei Sofrim or as a halachol Moshe Sinai. But it's not necessarily a contradiction. It's only a contradiction if you say it doesn't apply here and it does apply in the other Mishnah, meaning...
at that point, you'd be saying that the entire concept of Orla and Kilayim would words Derabana.
No. So certainly Orla is Deoraisa. I mean, those are Pesukim in the Torah. It's talking about in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, is it Derabana or is it Deoraisa? So the Mishnah is saying, the Mishnah in Orla is saying that Kilayim is only Midivrei Sofrim. But it still applies. So I don't know if that's a contradiction to the previous Mishnah in Kiddushin, which says it applies in Chutz La'aretz. So that's consistent. Right. So we're making on Safik Orla.
And Surya has higher status than the rest of Chutz La'aretz also, I believe.
Right. In many contexts, we're more machmir on Surya than Chutz La'aretz because Surya is very close to Eretz Yisrael. People mix them up.
So
it's conquered.
If in Surya we're saying that Safik is mutter, would we assume that we're saying that Orla is
Derabanan
in Chutz La'aretz?
Yeah. So I guess this isn't really today's shir, but I can cut to the chase with Orla. The Orla, the Gemara in Brachos, has a discussion. What does it mean when this Mishnah says that it's halacha? So some say it means halacha l'moshe misinai, but built into it is a kula that will go makel on every suffik. We see that by a couple other things, like suffik mamzer also, we go l'kula on certain deoraisas. Built into that is a halacha l'moshe misinai. And the other one is halacha really means like a kabbalah, but it's midrabanan also, and that would explain this halacha also. But I think, again, just in terms of Orla and Kilayim, though, the Mishnayos are consistent. One saying it's Aser and Chutz La'aretz, and the other one's just telling you how Aser is it. But that I don't think poses a problem. So you get to Tosfos. Tosfos is commenting on that Mishnah in Kiddushin, and he says, you know, maybe we have, you know, I'm sure that there's a nicer term than saving grace, but we have, you know, something to save us over here. And Tosfos says, no, we've got nothing to work with. He says, V'nira dechadosh noeg bizman hazeh. It seems that Chadash, unfortunately, does apply Bizman Hazeh. We have to be machmir about Chadash. We don't pass in like this Tanakhama because we have the other Stam Mishnah going the other way. And just by the way, we saw in Menachos all these Amoraim were being machmir. Right? The Amoraim are coming centuries after the Tanaim. It seems by their time they had already figured out like we're being machmir on this question of Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. So it's very hard to say we're going to pass in like the Stam Mishnah. against Rabbi Eliezer when all the Amoraim were also being machmir, it seemed, afterwards. So if you know that the saorim, the barley, whatever it is, was planted after the time when they would offer the omer, dahainu achar test zayin b'nisan, test zayin b'nisan, after the 16th of Nisan, shelo yochal mehem, you're not supposed to go and eat from them. I'll raise this issue because it'll be very relevant for next shiur. What about if it's owned by a non-Jew? So we're going to see that there's a whole discussion. What about if it's owned by a non-Jew? So Tosfos says there's nothing to talk about. He says, just jump to the bold underline of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi nami mashma de chadash noig af b'shel ovdei kochavim. It sounds like chadash is a relevant prohibition, even if it was grown by a non-Jew. De pari chalad de mas nisim, because it asks on the Mishnah, which we saw in Kiddushin, diktani af ha-chadash, that our Mishnah said that chadash is also aser. Amai lo tani chala. The Gemara in Yerushalmi, it says, how come you didn't also say chala? Right, when we bake bread, if you break enough bread, so we're machmir for chala in chutz la'aretz also. So why did the Mishnah in Kiddushin? The Mishnah in Kiddushin says the only exceptions are orla kilayim and maybe chadash, which Tosa says we have to be machmir for. So what about chala? We keep chala in chutz la'aretz also. So Yerushalmi says that why is it not in this Mishnah? Because challah doesn't apply if the grain, or depending maybe the kneading, something was involved, if the non-Jew was involved in the process at a certain point. So what do you see? Mashma says Tosfos. That's an exception for challah, but chadash is in our Mishnah. So you see challah, you see chadash will be a problem even if it belongs the whole way through by an ovde kochavim. So Tosfos is in trouble. Problem is, and here's where we're going to transition a little bit into I guess, you know, stage two of this year. Up until, basically, I don't know exactly what point this started, but throughout the Rishonim's time period, at least in Ashkenaz, and you go all the way up until through today, people seem to have been very makil about Chadash. We have an Isser D'Oraisa. The Rambam says an Isser D'Oraisa. Tosfos says it's Aser. And everyone's makil about it. So what's the kula? So Tosfos says, don't worry, I've got a kula for you. Tosfos says on the second line, "Umi safek," back to the same source, "Umi safek ein lasor kol asorim." If you're not sure that it's chadash, if you're not certain it's chadash, it's not asur. Don't worry about it. Kevin derov hasaorim nizru kodim tezayim b'nisan. Most barley stalks were grown, were planted before tezayim b'nisan. By the time we get it, says Tosfos, most things are what we'll call, let's say, a winter crop. They grow most of the things before Tessai Menisa, most of the stuff, which is the market, we have a rove that everything's going to be okay. That's Tosfos' big argument. We have a rove. Rove works even by Deoraisas. We can be makel based on a rove.
It doesn't necessarily apply today.
Right, so that doesn't necessarily apply today. The Rush said that doesn't necessarily apply even 100, 200 years later when the Rush writes this tshuva. The Rush was asked, hey, is this chadash thing something we have to be careful about? And the Rush is a tshuva. So the beginning, the first tshuva in Klal Beis, he was asked the question, Hashem istapik mori, im alach k'reb liyezer damer chadash asu minator b'chot zartz. Do we pass in like k'reb liyezer that we have to be machmir? B'ha leka sveika. He says, there's no question. D'alach k'stam mishnah, d'masechas orla. We have to be machmir for the stam mishnah in orla, that it's asur, Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kaba, Sayhu. And then he adds on, Rav Alphys pasak alach k'reb liyezer. Rav Alphys, who's Rav Alphys? The Riff. The Riff also paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that Chadash is Aser. V'chein b'sefer ha-mitzvos, and also the Smag, uve'avia Ezri, and in the Ra'avia. V'chein pasku b'chol ha-chiburim de Chadash noeg b'shal k'nani. And also, if a non-Jew was the one who grew the Chadash all the way through, it's still Aser. The Rosh says there's nothing to talk about. So what's the heter? So he says, Rabbi Yitzchak kasev b'tshuva b'sefer ha-mitzvos hevio. Samashanu shosim sheikhar sorim. Why are we all drinking beer? V'ochlin shibol ha-shual, and we eat... I always mix up which grain the Shibol HaShuel is, I think that we call oats. So, Amchinin Aruba Shen Yisroim Kodim HaOmer. We rely on this rove. So he says, that sounds like a very nice answer. But he says, the Rosh, I decided, okay, let's see if that's true. So he says, I went to the farmers. I asked the farmers, is this really true? So he says, V'ata, jumping a few lines, but it's zero lines in the short sheet. V'ata lifnei HaPesach, nasatias libi. So now it was a little bit before Pesach, and he said, okay, so now's the perfect time to ask the farmers, have you guys planted most of your barley and other grains before... before right now, essentially, or are you going to be planting it later? So nasati esli bi yan she inui shilahem. I think inui is a reference to the planting season. I'm not 100% sure, but because the inui shilahem hayab prusa pesach, it seems like they were doing something close to pesach. Vegam es hagrid haya. Okay, whatever the weather conditions were, below yachlu lachrosh, and they were unable to go and thresh the fields, to plow the fields. Excuse me. Umi uta demi uta nizru lifnei pesach, and there was only a very small minority of their grain which they were actually planting before pesach. Velo milani libi leasor ulai lo yishmuli. So everyone is asking me, hey, you know, Rush, Rav Asher, should we be machmir? And he said, I couldn't tell people it was usher because I was worried they wouldn't listen to me. That's his says, what can I do? I'm just going to stay quiet. So what would I tell them? So he had a very smart response. De'ani meishiv l'sho'alim, when people ask me, I say as follows. Dir shum yom de'adam, I tell them, go and ask the people who work the fields. Im yomru she'arov nizra lifnei ha'omer mutter, v'im lav usher. Best way to not tell them what you think is just tell them, do your own research, go ask the farmers. If they say most of it was planted beforehand, it's mutter. And if not, not. The Rosh saying, I know it's not, but I don't want to be the one to tell them it's usher, because then they'll be violating an isser probably intentionally. Better to just leave them with that question. Reminds me, one of big poskim in YU, whenever you ask him, are shavers mutter, again, for another shear, so he says, if shavers are mutter, then all shavers are mutter, and if shavers are usser, then all shavers are usser. That's his response. Electric shavers. So I always wondered what that response meant. And after seeing this rush, I was wondering, maybe that's because he doesn't want to say he thinks it's usser. I'm not sure, but that was what came to mind. I should ask him. Okay, so v'ani meishiv l'sho'alim. So what? I just read that. V'gamani zachor min urai. He says the Rosh, I actually remember from my youth. Kfar pamim v'shalosh, inu yishlahem ayah b'prusa Pesach. We had similar weather conditions where the same issue came up. Shura bosai nagu is. So I remember my rebbeim, probably the Maharam, I think the Maharam is after. No, the Maharam is, someone will correct me. Maharam's either his Rebbe or after him. Don't know. Okay, so his Rebbeim, though, were Nohig Isser. Of Alohoru, yeah, the Maharam's Rebbe. I think the Maharam is who he's referencing. But they were Oser of Alohoru Halach Lamaisla Isser. But they wouldn't tell other people to be Machmir on Chadash. And says the Rosh, a line which actually makes its way into Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember if I put it in the source sheet. The Ahasa Michna, the Eini Mora Isser. This is what I rely on. I don't tell people it's Oser. Mutav Shu Shogigin. Better that they violate it B'Shogig than to violate it B'Mezid. The Acharid Yifrosh, someone who is a fearful person, meaning I guess an earliest term for Charedi. So if you're Machmir and you're worried about these Yisurim Yifrosh, you should stay away from Chada. That's how the Rosh ends off his tshuva. So let's just summarize what we have right now. Again, I'm gonna put out again that there is a second shir coming in 2 weeks, but until then, right now you should just know Chadash is the hardest thing to be Machmir for. We've had an Adar Sheni, right? The further away from Pesach you get, the harder keeping Yashan is.
Does anybody talk about any of that with respect to the seasons? It could drastically change.
Right. The robe is going to change significantly over time specifically.
Also, whether you end up with the crops being planted enough before.
Right. And do they have storage houses?
And it'll be planted. It'll always be planted early enough. Like, there's nothing that gets planted early in spring.
Right. So it sounds like some years yes and some years no. And I don't know what weather conditions he's describing, but he's saying in certain years I remember there was certainly not a rove going on. So the Rosh is not saying like you can just say, oh, there's always a rove. Like, figure it out. Do you have a rove or do you not have a rove? So I just want to summarize before this, we see the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see if we probably won't get to the end of the sources. But so far we've seen that the Rosh quoted the Rif. We see the Rosh is Machmir, that it's an Issur D'Oraisa. We saw the Rambam thinks that it's an Issur D'Oraisa. We saw the Tosos thinks it's Usser. Missing any big hitters? He quoted also the Bahag. Basically, anyone who you've, not anyone, but all of the major big hitters, right? Who does the Shulchan Aruch really pass in? Like, who are his big three? Rif, Rambam, Rosh. So all three of them, without any question, said, you've got a problem over here. So you're not surprised, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he says it twice. He says, first in Source 8, he says, Usser le'achol chadash af bizman hazeh. It's an explicit Shulchan Aruch. You are not allowed to eat chadash. He's talking in chutzarts, bein lechem, bein kali, bein karmel, no matter what type of, how the grain came out. Ad tchilas yod ches ben Nisan, until the 18th of Nisan. We saw that before. We're machmir the entire 17th. Uve'eretz Yisrael ad tchilas leil yod zayin ben Nisan. So it's clear he's talking about in chutzarts in the first part. The first part, in chutzarts, you have to be machmir. And in Eretz Yisrael, okay, you get it to start eating chadash a little bit earlier on the 17th of Nisan. Again, in Shulchan Aruch in Yoreh Day, he says, Tvul shlo yishisha kon mutes ayin b'nisan, asura ad sheyavo ha'omer ha'ba. Maybe we'll just finish off with a sfeik sfeika of the Ramah. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so the Ramah has a famous, or maybe the right word is infamous, depending on what you think about this sfeik sfeika. There's generally a klal that a safek on a deoraisa we're machmir for. But if you can introduce a second doubt, not just one doubt, but a double doubt, so then you can be makel even by deoraisa. So the Rama says, "Mikomakom kol stam tuva shari lachar pesach mikoch sveik sveika." Says the Rama, I can matir all grain from a sveik sveika. Safek ki mishana she'avra. Maybe that grain is from last year. V'im timtza lomer mishana zu. And even if that grain is from last year, excuse me, even if that grain is from this year, maybe you're right, you picked it this year, but maybe it already took root from before the Omer. Again, so maybe it was, let's say, picked last year. Maybe you picked it last year, in which case it's Yashan. And even if you didn't pick it last year, you picked it this year, maybe it already took root.
That's both of them?
Those are both seikos. Those are the both seikos.
They're embedded in each other, though.
They're embedded in each other. So
yes.
Exactly, right? So what is this? This is the exact same suffix, it sounds like. You have the exact same doubt. What's that doubt? The doubt is, did this take root before Pesach, or did it not take root after Pesach? He decided to split that up. Maybe you picked it last year, and maybe you didn't pick it last year, but it took root. So it's the same suffix. Your suffix is this Chodesh or is this Yashan? The Ramah just decided to, boom, and it's not his fault. It's not like he just made it up. It's actually from a Rishon. It's from the Maharam. This fake sveika. He says just like that, you can matir all chadash. Mikomakum dilanish kodama omer. Fine. I'm going to just point out. So Rabbi Akiva Eger makes that point. If you look in Rabbi Akiva Eger, so he says in the parentheses at the bottom of the source, koach sveika sveika b'tshuvas mutzal me'esh tama hashem omnes chadu. He's quoting a Gemara, but the Gemara says, you basically took the same thing called ones and you split it into two different categories. You're pretending there's a sveika sveika when there's really only one suffix over here. Demali mishana sha'avra, what difference does it make if it was grown or planted or picked last year? Mali mishana nazu kodem ha'omer, what difference is it that you picked it this year and it happens to have taken root before the omer? Maybe next time we'll talk about some defenses of that, Ramah. But I'll just point out, just to leave everyone, you know, a little concerned. And again, what I just wanted to spell out, that right now it's as hard as possible to keep Yashan, because we've been as far away from Pesach as it gets, and we had a leap year, which means we had a whole extra month of grain to be introduced without a heter. By this same time last year, everything would have been mutter because there was no leap year. We would have already passed Pesach. Right now, Yashan is, you know, so to speak, as hard as it gets. Again, we have all these firm bands which make it okay, but I'll just read one point from an OU article, which says, why did we used to be Makil and now we're Machmer? So it says that, this is from Rabbi David Gorelick. Say again? Sorry. Why was America Makil historically? And he's saying, and maybe now, he says, doesn't make as much sense to be Makil. So he says as follows, this is from OU's Jewish Action. It says, in past generations, it was impossible to know when a particular sack of wheat was harvested or in which month it was planted. In addition, until the 1970s, the U.S. stored its surplus of grain from one year to the next. Under such circumstances, the sveik sveika of the Ramah was applicable. We're going to have to explain, how does the sveik sveika make any sense? Maybe we'll leave that for next time. However, today the wheat supply can be tracked so efficiently that there is much less doubt as to whether the wheat is from this year's or last year's crop. Every shipment of wheat contains paperwork that identifies the type of wheat and the year it was harvested. I'll add the Yashan.com app and all the work that they do. They tell you exactly, they know exactly where every single thing, which wheat came from. Crop reports inform us if each variety of wheat is planted for every state. Furthermore, there is little chance that the wheat is from a previous year, since the U.S. exports its wheat surplus. Far from qualifying as a double doubt, in certain circumstances, one might even know with certainty that a particular batch of flour is chadash. So I'd say we have our work cut out for us for next year. We have to figure out why is all of Klal Yisrael kimat mekel. Is there maybe room for us to try and be machmir on a little bit? We've got the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, basically. The Ramah is hard to rely on right now. So in 2 weeks, we'll see. Do we have any defense for what we're all doing? Okay, Yashar Koach.